Thank you, Mark. So my name is Tim Jones. I'm the Director of Web Communication at NC State in Raleigh, North Carolina. Not the other North Carolina, but North Carolina State University. And you can follow me on Twitter if you want to scan that. I don't know if it's big enough to scan from where you are, but we'll talk a little bit more about QR codes in a couple minutes. So what I'm talking about today, location-based services for higher education. I'll start with just a little overview of location-based services, kind of what they are, how they work, talk a little bit about how universities are using location-based services, and then I'll talk a little bit toward the end about some things that we're doing at NC State with location-based services that I think are pretty interesting. Of course, I would, though. So like any self-respecting web communications professional, I decided to start this presentation with a definition from Wikipedia, copied and pasted. So here it is. A location-based service is an information and entertainment service accessible with mobile devices through the mobile network, utilizing the ability to make use of the geographical position of mobile device. Seriously? Utilizing the ability to make use of. Nice work, guys. I'm guessing that this was written by a committee of higher education senior administrators, or perhaps some computer scientists. So, but thanks to the clever use of boldface type here, emphasis is mine. There's some key ideas that get across here. So entertainment, mobile, information, geographical position.
Can you turn off your mic?
Yeah. Or no. How about I talk louder? Does that work? Is that better?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I do think we should thank the scientists for their hard work on that definition, nonetheless. But I'd like to try a little bit of a different approach at defining location-based services, something I think is inspired by scientists because it's math, but it's a little bit simpler, at least for my money. So here it is, location plus content, location-based services. I like it, it's a little bit simpler. Now we all know that content is king. Everyone wants content, we do all kinds of crazy stuff to get it, user-generated, authentic content, that sort of stuff. So we know that content matters, but what about this location stuff? Does location really matter? Well, according to Google, it does. 1 in 5 searches is locally related, according to Google. It's 20%. See, I can do math, too. 20% of the searches. In Google world, that's like 2 billion a month. Kid you not. So you can see that guy searching for Justin Bieber in North Carolina. That's the key piece. So Google's been doing this for a while with nearby search results. So you search for something near where you are. I'm sure all of us have used it since we've been here to find somewhere to eat or buy beer or whatever it is that we're looking for nearby. So it does matter. Location does matter. But what location-based services are doing now are evolving search in a whole new way. It's no longer find X near X. It's find X near X and then go interact with that place. That's what location-based services can do. And we have all of these new players. We have Foursquare, we have GoWallet, Whirl, Brightkite, Scavenger, Yelp, Facebook Places, Looped, and God knows how many other ones that are out there. And I think that what they're doing are three fundamental things. Location-based services are connecting people to places, places to people, and people to people in places. And that's really fun to say over and over very fast to annoy the hell out of your coworkers, by the way. So how does this work? How are location-based services connecting, say with me, people to places, places to people, people to people in places? Yes. Pretty simple. They all use the same fundamental mechanics. And the heart and soul of location-based services as they exist right now is the check-in. So the check-in is pretty much the foundation for all of these services. It's one thing that most of them have in common. So here's how a check-in works. So I use my preferred mobile device, and let's not kid ourselves, that's the iPhone. And I open up Foursquare, and I use the magic of GPS to locate myself. I say, hey, Foursquare, go find me. It tells me, this is where we think you are. It gives me a list of places. Then I say, yep, that's it. And I click the big green button, and I check in. So part of this process, I can check in, I can share it out on Twitter, I can share it to Facebook, I can tell my friends where I am, I can leave comments, I can, with some services like GoWallet, upload photos, and I can pretty much share whatever it is I'm doing. I'm eating a sandwich at wherever. I'm having the corn tortillas at Nada, which are excellent, by the way. So a lot of people ask, why in the hell would I do this? Why would I broadcast my location to the scary internet? Well, it's kind of, in some ways, I think, a little bit like reverse stalking, if you think about it. You're telling people where to find you rather than, well, anyway, I'll give you a minute on that slide. But I think that the idea that I can get content based on where I am at any given moment is pretty awesome. And for marketers, it's even more awesome. We can tell you, we can find where you are and give you what we want you to see where you are at any given moment in time. Targeted marketing to a whole new level. So what is it that compels people to check in outside of just wanting to fit in and use Foursquare because they saw it on the internet? Well, I think there's one thing that we can all agree works. Check in, get stuff. The number one incentivized thing you can do with location-based services. So I can check into a location, show whoever it is at that location that I have checked in, and get something, like a coupon for 10% off a coffee, a free t-shirt at the bookstore, or maybe more like a bumper sticker. They don't give stuff away at our bookstore. Tom's Shoes did a promotion where you could qualify to get a free pair of real shoes, not fake shoes. And an enterprising RD at NC State has offered, I don't think you can read it all the way, but a special sweet treat. I don't have any idea what that is, and I'm just going to leave it alone. And then, of course, free beer. And at this point, I ask, why wouldn't you check in? Free beer? I'm in. But this is higher ed, right? So we don't always have money and deep pockets like McDonald's or a bar in Vancouver. So what can we do? Well, good news. Doesn't even need to be real. You can give away fake stuff. Digital candy. The other part of location-based services, I think, is an interesting element. So what these are digital rewards for checking in or meeting some sort of specific criteria. 5 check-ins, 25 check-ins, 3 Oktoberfest locations, 10 taco joints, 3 times at the Apple Store, all kinds of stuff. And what this is a digital reward. You basically get a notification or an icon next to your name and your profile that you've accomplished or achieved something. And it's this interesting layer to location-based services. It introduces a game layer so that we're constantly comparing ourselves to what our friends are doing and what rewards they're getting, both physical and digital rewards. So if someone in my building becomes the mayor, which is the ultimate in Foursquare, is to be the mayor of a place, which is you've checked in the most times in, I think, 60 days. So if I see that someone is the mayor and I work in that building, I'm going after them. I'm going to try and get it. I have no explanation for why. It's just that competitive part of our personalities that I think it's very human, and it works. I mean, we know this. Anybody play Xbox in here? Achievement unlocked right here. So this stuff works. It's a game layer that sort of introduces casual competitiveness to something socially media oriented. That's not really a phrase. But anyhow, so they reward all kinds of stuff with these digital rewards. They reward multiple locations, multiple visits, loyalty, time of day, unique locations, pretty much anything. And I think this works. I think we all know it works because it's the digital equivalent of the I voted badge. We've all worn that, some of us for 2-3 weeks after we voted on our sport coat because we forgot to take it off. But it works. Everyone goes and gets that badge. I don't know anyone who's voted who hasn't gotten that sticker. It's kind of crazy, and people go nuts for this stuff. So it also does something else, and this is a good case. This tells you that you've participated in some sort of social shared experience as well. It makes you one of those people. It indicates something about you and your personality and your behavior. And I think that's what badges and digital rewards can do as well. So on Foursquare, you have this, for a while it was the thing, the swarm badge, which is to check in where 50 other people have checked in also. So you're participating in a shared experience. You're indicating that you're a part of the shared experience, and you're proudly displaying it on your Foursquare page. Other services like Whirl, which I don't talk too much about, but Whirl uses real-world patterns to pair you with people who have similar interests. It's pretty crazy, and it's really interesting, too. And here you can join the Strange Brew Society for beer-related things. And then, of course, Facebook Places, which launched earlier this year, which leverages the enormity of its social connections that already exist and introduces place as something that can also bind people together. And what all of these things do is they start to merge the physical and the digital. You start to have digital rewards for physical activity, physical rewards for digital activity, digital rewards for physical activity, all kinds of stuff. Did I say the same thing twice? I think I did. Sorry. So this stuff starts to bring us together over shared experiences. It allows you to interact with places. So you can check in and get stuff. You can check in and harass your friends that you've checked in more than them. You can do all kinds of interesting stuff. And it pings our human desire for social validation. That's what these badges do. That's what all of this stuff does. And it also, that sense of belonging that you get, the I voted badge again. And so when you incentivize participation by giving coupons, free things, t-shirts, all kinds of stuff, you encourage people to come back and continue to try. So they get the residual rewards and they get the physical ones as well. Some other services, and in Raleigh, I'll talk a little bit about tryout through the presentation, but some of these services, this is a locally based, location-based service. Tryout NC is specific to the Triangle, which is Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill. And it basically has all the trappings of social media or location-based services wrapped up into one service specific to the Triangle. And what this does is it establishes a stronger sense of relevance and a stronger sense of community. So you're looking for things that the locals do. And we've all done that. We've gone to the beach and looked for the places that the locals eat. You don't want Chili's, you don't want Applebee's, unless it's happy hour. And you find those places that the locals enjoy. And this is sort of what this does, is it allows you to explore a confined or contained community ahead of time, just through the digital world. And then there's incentives and badges and all kinds of fun stuff that you can do. And this concept really encourages exploration. It's more about discovery and connecting with people inside of your community, which I think is an interesting concept. So not surprisingly, universities have figured out, hey, we're communities, we've got people, we're a place, we can do this too. And so they have. Campuses are, by their nature, physical communities. They're already defined. There's nothing you have to do to create it. It exists already. Now it's figuring out how to take this location-based service concept and lay it on top of what you're doing on your campus. So it's always Harvard, right? Harvard got in early. Harvard worked with Foursquare to establish a branded Foursquare page. So this is the web page, and there are also some mobile elements to this as well, quite a few actually. So what it is a list of like 60 or some places combined under the common Harvard banner. And what you can do is go here and visit all these places, and you get all this information, like since 1882, Harvard landmark, and all the stuff that the university wants you to see. But also when you select one of these places, you get a list of tips from people who have actually been there, actually work there or go to school there or participate every day in the campus. And they're giving you genuine information. So this place takes cash only, or make sure to see this professor when you're in this building. There are all kinds of things that happen here. And it's really trusting your community to provide that information. And people love your universities. There's no question about it. And it's, so the concern about what if somebody says this place sucks, it happens, but the chances of them being shouted out by the people who love it, much better than it making any kind of dent in your reputation. So Foursquare worked with a couple universities. There's a handful, and this is by no means intended to be comprehensive, but Harvard, Oregon, Stanford have all worked with Foursquare to establish these pages. And the three of them in particular have custom badges. So if you visit five of those locations under the Harvard banner, you get the Harvard Yard badge. You get the Oregon Inducted badge, or the, I don't remember the Stanford one's name, but essentially you get badges for participating and being part of these communities. And this is a nice way to sort of generate content. So you're getting content from your users specific to your university by the people who are there just by offering the service for them. Other schools, like Florida, have gone a little bit different route with GoWalla. And GoWalla is a competitor to Foursquare. It's not quite as big. I didn't mention this earlier, but Foursquare is like at 3 million users worldwide, 15,000 business partnerships. So it's up and coming. And the growth graph kind of goes like straight up in 2009. But GoWalla is a little bit smaller, but they do some things that are a little bit different and interesting. GoWalla lets you upload photos when you check in, which adds just another layer of content generation to the whole process. It also gives you the authentic user content that you couldn't get anywhere else. How many times have we hired student photographers to go shoot an event to get that feel to it? This is happening whether we want it to or not. And you can take advantage of this by presenting it in sort of an organized, contained fashion on something like GoWalla. GoWalla also uses trips. And so the idea here is you can identify a set of points on a map and put information with them. Seems simple, but that's the campus map. It's done. You can identify them and you can let people comment on them, they can visit them, they can navigate the campus themselves, and you get this nice Google map out of the deal as well. So more and more content being generated. And so here's sort of a detail page, and the emphasis here is that tours equal content, and I think that everyone here needs content. And you can see the photos from the swamp and all this other fun stuff. So Foursquare and GoWalla are both actively pursuing partnerships with universities. So now's a good time to consider if it's worth it and try and reach out. So with Foursquare, you just fill out a form and say, here's what we'd like to do with Foursquare, and then you wait for them to call. GoWalla is more a little bit less specific, but you essentially just contact them using the email address on these sites, and you can talk with them about how you can get involved. So another up-and-comer, Facebook, you might have heard of it, 500 million people, recently launched Facebook Places. And I mentioned this earlier, but Places is essentially the status update sort of evolved to include location. And that sounds ridiculous, but what it does is it allows you to add one more way to connect with people on Facebook. It's a location. So that awkward kid in middle school who tracked you down on Facebook and you might have actually crossed paths and you can find out where they are, or your girlfriends or ex-girlfriends can stalk you, which is pretty awesome too. But you can put yourself in Facebook. You can check into locations and become part of what people connect on Facebook. It's how they connect. So it's enabling them to connect using your location is the foundation for that. There's no doubt that this is going to evolve into something that no one understands quite yet. I mean, this is Facebook. They've got a little bit of money. And I think it's interesting. The University of Kentucky jumped in early on this. They encourage people to check in using Facebook Places, and to raise awareness, they put these giant wooden installations of the actual map markers in high traffic areas on campus, which is just an awesome idea. I think it's fantastic. And they've also done some other interesting stuff with privacy, which we'll talk a little bit about later. So at NC State, we have a few location-based projects that I'll talk about. And the fun shouldn't be for current students and prospective students, right? We all work for administrators at some point. We have to make them happy. We have to earn buy-in from them. And so in order to get our folks working with location-based services and comfortable with the concept, we picked the chancellor, right? Start small. We picked the chancellor. He's new. Anyone here from Purdue? I'd like to thank you for him. He's an excellent guy, former provost there. But when he started, he wanted to tour the state and get a sense of what NC State is doing around the country, around the state. We're a land-grant university, so we have a presence in all 100 counties in North Carolina. So makes sense. Guy goes somewhere. He's at Places, map, content. It all seems to fit together. It fits the formula of location plus content. So what we did is work with the chancellor's office to get all of the content that was being generated as a result of these visits. He was visiting with alumni, with researchers and faculty members. He was seeing all of our facilities. He was talking to donors and just sort of generally getting the lay of the land. And so what we chose to do was work with the guys at Tryout to create a custom map marker. Using the Google Maps API, we plotted these points on the map, and each one is imbued with content. So we have flip camera videos, we have all kinds of photography, we have all this information that was sent out in the press packets all combined together. So what you end up with is a list of stuff about a place specific to the chancellor. So it's location plus content. And it's not as slick as he checked in and he tweeted about it, but it's a lot less threatening, and it works. It gets people comfortable with the concept that location can be important to what you're presenting on the web. More importantly, it opened up the door for us to do something more aggressive. So this is where what we're doing now. And a disclaimer, this isn't done. This is one of the first groups that's seeing anything we've done with it. But NC State On Campus. So NC State On Campus is a hyperlocal location-based service. It is all of the things that Foursquare and GoWalla are, at least philosophically, specific to NC State. And this lets us connect people to people inside of our community. NC State is the common denominator. We're hoping that this really takes off and gives people an opportunity to connect and really use location-based services. But it introduces a level of control that I think helps administrators sleep at night, but also gives us some unique opportunities. It works a little different than other location-based services. It uses all of them. So we're directly using APIs, directly integrating with Twitter, Foursquare, Facebook, GoWalla, Tumblr, and Flickr. So you'll be able to, as a user, and I have a working demo on my phone if anyone wants to catch me afterwards and take a look at it, you'll be able to check in against your Foursquare locations, get the same benefit you'd get with Foursquare through On Campus. You can check in to GoWalla through On Campus. And once you check in, you can also, and so when you relate these services, Facebook, GoWalla, Foursquare, Twitter, you create an aggregated friends list inside of this software. So this list here, people from all kinds of different services. Since this is a beta, a lot of them are in Tryout, which is the company that we're working with. So you can see GoWalla, Foursquare, Tryout, all of it's sort of integrated into a single friends list. The thinking here is that it's a lot more important where your friends are than what service they use to be there. So this allows you to directly connect with them and communicate with them sort of regardless of whether they use Foursquare, GoWalla, or Facebook even. So, and you have your friends list right there, all of it collected into one spot. And you can directly connect to them through email, you can tweet at them, you can send them notes on Foursquare, you can do whatever it is that you need to do right through this application. So, and this is an interesting concept. Very few people have considered putting them all together. I know that there are some services that do it, but I think that using NC State as the common denominator is a really interesting way to do it. So the other thing we're doing is what we call advanced check-ins. Does everyone know what that is? QR code? QR codes are essentially square barcodes that you can scan with a smartphone, and they deliver content. So I can point, scan, get stuff. Newspapers are using them. A lot of advertisers are using them. Best Buy uses them in the corner of their circular ads. That gives you some mobile content. And you can generate them yourself, which is really awesome. So there's a lot of potential with QR codes. It's a whole presentation in and of itself. But what we're doing with them is we're embedding check-in data with the QR codes we generate through on campus. So you'll be able to create a QR code for, I don't know, a table inside of the dining hall. Put it on a table tent. Student comes in, sits down, points at it, scans it, gets a 10% discount on the ice cream that's there, and also gets a menu delivered to them, a mobile menu delivered to them just from the QR code, and they check into the dining hall and get whatever benefits come from that. Another idea we have with QR codes is to print them in playbills for university theater so that I'm sitting there, I look at it and say, hey, that's kind of cool. Let me scan it and see what happens. So checks you into the theater, and it gives you a little background on the actors or anything. And you can deliver any kind of content you want as long as it's mobile friendly. Just knowing that people are scanning this with their mobile device makes sense. So there's a lot of integration possibilities there, ways that you can take advantage of QR codes. And they scale real well. So taking Kentucky's lead, make some big ones. We're going to spray paint this thing on the Free Expression Tunnel at NC State, which is a tunnel where anyone can spray paint almost anything they want. So it's the nearly Free Expression Tunnel. But it's a huge QR code. And this is Photoshop, but it looks pretty good. And it scans, too. So you'll be able to do this. Pole banners, physical installations on brick, building sides, all kinds of places that you can put these QR codes, assuming our facilities folks agree. This one we don't have to ask on, so it's the easy target. But we've already started working with our athletics folks, student affairs, alumni associations, dining, to get these ideas out there and have them start thinking about how they might use the service. Because the goal with it is to offer it as a service, not as a solution. Just a series of tools for location-based services contained within NC State that let them do whatever it is they can do with it. We have no idea where this is headed. It could go horribly wrong, but we'd like to see how it goes and let it grow organically. It's sort of like Twitter. If Twitter had stuck with the what are you doing right now instead of evolving the way that its users evolved it, we'd be no Twitter. I can just say that now. So hopefully location-based services offer the same potential. And we felt like creating our own service using the guys at Tryout have helped a lot with us. They're pioneering some ideas there, but benefiting from their expertise and working with them has given us the opportunity to sort of develop this NC State specific thing. And of course, we'll incentivize participation. Another advantage to having your own service is that you can create as many badges as you want, and you get to design them yourself. They don't have to be circular, glassy Web 2.0 buttons. They can be blocky and stodgy like ours. I'm kidding. These are just sort of concepts. They're not really done. But you'll be able to manage location specials right through the software, so you can say, working with student affairs, they can promote student events, that sort of thing, directly through the tool. Free ice cream, free t-shirts, which I have some, so catch me afterwards. Nuked, you check in the nuclear facility, or werewolves, that's not a typo, that's on purpose, it's kind of a pun. And the early on name for the on-campus project was werewolf. No. So events, we can manage events too. So you can do location-aware events. So if I check into the Brickyard at NC State, I know no one knows what any of these things are, but it's all right. Brickyard is big yard of bricks. So you can you can check in the Brickyard, take a look at what events are happening, and see that there's a farmer's market going on, or that the student organization is doing something, a blood drive upstairs in Tally Student Center, or there's an event later on that's a sponsored event that we've worked with someone to put together. So you can imagine the potential for events. I mean, events are like the bread and butter of universities. So tailgates, student service events, all of these things can have different components. So you can incentivize participation for the events. You can promote them sort of with location-aware technology. And you can give them badges for it. You can so check in at a tailgate, scan a QR code, get a free barbecue sandwich, all kinds of interesting stuff you can do. The alumni and athletics folks are really excited about the potential. So think about checking into the fan zone at a football game and then getting a coupon for one of their affiliated vendors for 10% off. I mean, the potential is rich here. And so we're hoping that it takes off. we'll see. The other thing that we can do with on-campus is create content. All of these photos that you can upload, all the video, which is new for location-based services. I don't know that anyone is really doing it. You'll be able to upload video and share it out to different services. Video works with Twitter, Flickr, and that other F one, Facebook. So you'll be able to push out content as well. And this is a really powerful concept for us. Again, empowering our students to create content on our behalf. And we're hoping that this works and it doesn't turn into a disaster. You know, we may kill the internet with video uploads with location-based stuff. Who knows? But it's worth a shot. So it'll compress the video and then you can upload. And that's my daughter. I had to get in here at one point, one of my two. So the idea here is that we're working to evolve the campus ecology. The expectation for interacting with campus will be different. Walk around, see a QR code, scan it, you expect to get something. You can participate in a whole new level. You can find your friends, what they're participating in. NC State is a very decentralized place, both physically and philosophically. But this lets us sort of begin to unify that. So if your friend is an engineering student and you're a design student, you'll find him in the basement he's in, and he'll find you at the coffee shop you're at. Those are the kinds of things that we're hoping this will inspire. Another big piece of this, knowledge, analytics, metrics, research. With this software, with this tool, we'll be able to know where you are, when you checked in, where you checked in before, where you checked in after, what time of day, locations peak, what details, we can manage the details, so those nasty comments, we can manage those through here, photos, and we can directly message, it's not really visible here, but you can directly message specific users based on where they are. So instant customer service. If you're Joiner Visitor Center and somebody checks in and then says, have no idea what I'm supposed to do, this place is empty, somebody can see that or monitor it, and as close to real time as you want to monitor, you can reach out to them and say, hey, we're already at the bell tower, take a turn on the left, turn up pull and drive, whatever it is that you need to do. And cross promotion, right? If you know where someone was before and after they came to your event, you can sort of evaluate whether events are effective or not. And you can also sort of say, hey, we know a lot of people are going from this place to this place. Maybe we should put some breadboards out there and point in this direction. Or this information can inform all kinds of different marketing initiatives. So where you put your print racks, where you do all kinds of stuff, pole banners, any of those things. So kind of creepy, isn't it? I love it. So that's phase one. The next thing we're going to do, we're hoping to do, is integrate more content into the on-campus idea. So we have a mobile app already that we'll be able to sort of take all of this mobile stuff and put it inside of on-campus. So when you check into a location, all the on-campus, on-campus, you'll have news, events, other events, libraries, all kinds of stuff, dining hall apps. And we're working on this already. And we can do some of this with the QR stuff. So you check in and it delivers you to the mobile stuff that already exists. But that's the key thing, is sort of making all of our services work together. And of course, WolfWalk, I'm not sure if anyone knows what this is. It's already in the App Store. It's a sort of a historic tour of NC State, location aware, developed by our libraries. Phase two of this is to put WolfWalk in on campus. So if I check into a location that has a WolfWalk component, I get to see the history and the archival footage that's along with it. You guys can download this if you want. And so as part of the education and rollout of this, we've put together a cartoon to sort of demonstrate what we imagine this will look like, because we often imagine our campus populated by cartoon wolves. So here it is. On campus, so the check-in. So wolf number one checks into the library, sees his girlfriend checked into the farmer's market. They decide to meet for coffee. She won an award. So they go, get some coffee. Somebody sees that they've checked in, joins them, scans the QR code on the table tent, and gets a free cup of coffee or a discount. They decide, you know what, I gotta go study. And they say, I'm gonna scan this QR code, get the menu for lunch. I'm gonna go find out, let's go eat some lunch together. This guy gets a tweet saying, hey, I'm going to study for that econ final, you wanna join me? So they connect and they study and realize that there's a nearby event, a basketball game, and go pack. So they all end up, they take photos, they share content. So this is sort of a lofty sort of idea behind what we're trying to do. But so that's the NC State project. And I can't talk about location-based services without mentioning privacy. Everyone's terrified of this stuff. Telling people where you are, people knowing where your students are. And I think this comes down to personal responsibility and accountability. You have to know the services that you're using, who you've chosen to share your information with, and how you're sharing that information. The University of Kentucky did a great job rolling out Facebook, their promotion there. They put up a thing about how to control it and ensure that you're not sharing with people you don't want to. That's brilliant. It's all about education. And the other thing you can do is turn it all off, which on campus we've decided to turn everything by default off. You're not sharing anything with anyone unless you choose to at the point of the check-in, which is one way to sort of discourage people from making horrible decisions, which we can't always do with technology, but it's somewhat of our responsibility to make sure that we're not enabling bad decisions to the extent possible. And if you think about it, we've been telling people where we are as long as I can remember, whether it's in concrete, gone fishing, bathroom stalls, or my daughter telling me where she was in our driveway with chalk. So we've always had this need to connect and make places social, and I think that's where location-based services are headed. So congratulations, you've earned this award. And I have a handful of t-shirts up here for the first 15 or so people who want them. But so I'm happy to take any questions if I left any time, which I don't know that I did. But
because we're podcasting this, I want to get questions on the microphone, so we'll start over here.
I work at University of Oklahoma, and we were one of the schools that started off with Foursquare as well.
Yeah.
And one thing that I noticed is that I'm not on the main team that's doing all the big pushes, mm-hmm. But one of the places that we're pushing it is at football games, basketball games, mm-hmm. places like that.
You mean you're not scared of athletics?
No. The biggest issue that I've seen with Foursquare and with location-based apps and things that require you to check in, mm-hmm. that require data,
yeah.
that when you're at large events, mm-hmm. like football games, where you can't get out to send a text, let alone get in to check Foursquare,
yeah.
You have to provide a solution. And mm-hmm. even, you know, with as large as our campus-wide Wi-Fi network is, even that's not possible in those right. situations. So how do you think is a way to deal with those kind of situations?
So how do you deal with bandwidth demands with location-based services, particularly in highly populated sort of these event areas? You work at a smaller school, number one. I'm kidding. You lose football games. I don't know that there is a solution. I don't know that location-based services will solve that. I do think that it's important to offer through the mobile networks, through your cell phone providers and wireless. So if you have to have a mobile app, this sort of works in the same way and enables the check-ins, which is a key piece of it. And so HTML5 is some awesome stuff, so it really opens the door to sort of combine your Wi-Fi with your cell networks. And I don't know that there's any other solution, to be honest, other than maybe try and localize the check-in points, so where they're distributed, or make it a progression so that you check in at the gate and then as you're leaving, so that it's not all contained at once. Or phase them throughout the game, not all at the single moment. But I don't know at a school like where you are that's really possible. So,
yep. And I think that's a short-term problem and not a long-term yeah. problem. It's amazing how far behind the U.S. is in yeah. terms of building out that mobile infrastructure compared to the rest of the world. 5 years mm-hmm. from now, I think this is not going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hi, I'm from Purdue, so you're welcome.
Awesome.
For Mr. Woodson, by the way. We've been kind of toying around with this idea mm-hmm. for a long time. The big challenge for us is one of our goals in my small team is that we need to support teaching and learning.
Yeah.
So how can we engage students in and out of the classroom mm-hmm. at that like actual moment of learning?
Yeah.
And that's kind of a challenge. Like, how do you do location-based stuff and handle learning at the same time? Have you guys mm-hmm. thought about this at all, or have you seen solutions that?
Yeah, we have. So how do you involve learning in location-based services? Is it all just games? To some extent, it is. But there are opportunities, and I think this is a really interesting area. I think this is where it's going to head. I think universities are going to start to figure this stuff out. And to be honest, no, we haven't figured it out. It's what we're trying to give our campus the service to let them sort of explore how to do it. But also, you can do things like, I'm just thinking, you could do something like the history stuff. Or architecture, or design, or some of those things, like using those opportunities and say adding these spots on campus to the services. So you could say, you know, go here, here's a tip or a to-do, and getting students to contribute or participate in it. I mean, you're getting a record of this, even if you don't partner with Foursquare. You can still see who checked in. Of course, there's the requiring them to have a smartphone thing. That's bad. And that's one of the downsides, right, is that in order for people to use this stuff, they have to have some level of smartphone or at least know how to use a computer, which is not always the case. But I don't know if that really answers the question. I think it's an untapped area, and it's a really
it's a challenge for you guys too. It's a tricky thing.
Absolutely. And our strategy has been to sort of get this thing up and running, see how it works and see where it goes, and then sort of develop from there.
So I think museums for location-based learning is a really good example. The other thing that I thought of for location-based and learning is Evernote, mm-hmm. and the value of I took this note at this location. Mm-hmm. So I think there are some tools that are kind of related to that. Mm-hmm. This is where I learned X.
Yeah, and people have talked about doing things like attendance with location-based services, which I'm not sure how that would work. You'll notice we've steered very, very far away from student services.
Go check in for me.
Yeah, we're not talking to PeopleSoft or anyone at this point. This is kind of its own thing. So,
other folks.
Hi, I'm from the College of Worcester, which is a really small, about 1,800 students. Excuse me, and we have a really small team, limited resources. What are your suggestions for implementing location-based services on a small campus? Mm-hmm. And secondly, how do you encourage the pickup of that? We've marked everything all over campus in Foursquare. We've got mm-hmm. very little. We've got a very small group of people who've adopted it. Mm-hmm. It's very fledgling. What are your suggestions for getting us moving?
Well, I think I mentioned incentives. I think that the idea that students are going to do something just because you want them to is absurd. That's not going to happen. I think it's important to incentivize in ways that you can find to incentivize, realizing that if you have a limited budget and resources, you're not getting a Foursquare badge and you're not building your own tool. So maybe if you've claimed your locations on Foursquare, which is the first step, is to go through and get that big old greens check-in sticker and have the ability to offer promotions, just start thinking creatively about what you might be able to offer. If you offer like web design services or free consulting, you can make up stuff.
Free t-shirt or something like that.
Free t-shirts are awesome. T-shirts. Well, that's what we're doing. And t-shirts aren't that expensive and you can do, but I would say incentivize and then market the hell out of it. Just put it everywhere you possibly can. And you know, unless people are on a location-based service, they're not going to see the advertisement inside of it. It's just one of those things that sometimes we forget, is that you have to point them to the thing and explain it. So a little bit of education on the value and that sort of stuff might help. And also, if you can convince your university to let you to promote it from the homepage, it's a great way to start. Or get your admissions counselors using it, get your sort of your campus tour folks talking about it. Buy like 5 or 10 iPods, hand them out, use your Wi-Fi, get them to check in, give them something when they're done. All kinds of stuff. Partner with other people off campus too. One of the things that we've done by virtue of working with Tryout is that we have this sort of search on campus or search tryout. So we've sort of given people the opportunity to search locally and point to other businesses. There are some concerns with that in terms of promotions and stuff. But
I think one of the problems is lack of critical mass. We put together a GoWalla tour. A lot of people access at GoWalla Tour, not a single soul has checked into it because they're not in GoWalla. We also did an orientation session using Scavenger, mm-hmm. which was great, but when they did it, they looked at it as a game. This was not a lifestyle. It's like, okay, right. It's a game. Now you don't have to ever use use Scavenger again. They didn't do that. But because it is such a fragmented thing, I think that's difficult because, you know, we're all too busy, so how do we manage, you know, or do you even try to manage, you know, 6 different systems?
To that end, how do you make sure, like, what do you use to determine that you've hit critical mass? How do you know that this is a solid venture to pursue, that you've actually got enough people on campus that this is worth such a big build-out?
I think you have to define your own term for success. You know, I wouldn't say that a Scavenger event, for those who aren't familiar, Scavenger is a Google-backed location-based service that uses this idea of challenges, sort of collected challenges. It's called Scavenger for a reason. I think the point is for scavenger hunts. But it's that game layer. It's almost entirely a game. But I don't know that would be considered a failure. I mean, people participated and enjoyed it, and they left with a positive experience, and they might remember it, they may not. So offer more, try it out, continue. And if you offer them and they become sort of an expectation for your students, it will become part of the lifestyle. There's also the opportunity to integrate, just pick a few services. I don't know that it's really a requirement to do all 300,000 of them or whatever there are out there. I mean, that slide was just me Googling for 10 minutes on what's out there. And most of those have some user base behind them. But obviously at NC State, we chose to go the other direction, which is to do one and then put the other ones in it so that we didn't have to pick. It's just sort of use whatever you want. But I think picking a handful that are effective and that'll help you accomplish what it is you want. So if your goal is to get people engaged in a campus tour, do that. Or if your goal is to sort of personalize experiences for existing students, doing something like, here's the best route from building X to building Y. Make sure to stop here on the way in and get a free t-shirt or get some candy or something like that. We've started working on some tours inside of GoWall, actually, that are sort of specific to the different colleges. I mean, NC State's big, so we have between 10 and 12 colleges, depending on who you ask. So what we've done is the engineering tour versus the design school tour, just acknowledging that there are differences and that people can talk about, this building sucks, I want to go to this one instead, or make sure you take classes here and not there, that kind of stuff. But also just helping prospective students hear how people actually use campus on a day-to-day basis. I don't know that actually helps answer that, but I think picking a few that overlap well with your goals, so knowing that a little bit of the differences between them, that GoWalla focuses on the journey and trips, that Foursquare is mostly a game to get badges and outdo your friends, the scavenger is a scavenger hunt, and just see what works. I mean, social media is all about failure.
Okay, got time for one more question.
Yeah.
Just a quick question about your use of QR codes.
Yeah.
I'm relatively new to the higher ed industry, but I've worked with them quite a bit in my previous job at an art museum, mm-hmm. and I'm seeing a big difference in the audiences with this technology in particular. Are you using any best practices to introduce them to the students?
No, we're totally new to it. I'll be honest. We've started using them in a couple places that with decent results. The sort of the heavy-handed stuff, like scan this, automatically like us on Facebook kind of stuff. And it's interesting that they've sort of started to make their way from the West Coast to the East Coast. Since I'm in Raleigh, it's taken a while, and people look at them like, what in the hell are these things? So we're actually going to hopefully be able to do a little bit of an educational campaign behind it. Here's what a QR code is, here's how it works, and here's what you can do with them. We've started to do that internally with our different departments and introducing them to the concept. And there are a handful of people who are already using them. Our alumni association uses them to like on Facebook, but also get directions to where you buy your ring. I mean, there's things like that. But in terms of best practices, the way QR codes work is the less data you have in them, the simpler the designs are, which means the bigger you can make them. So the shorter you can make the URLs or the information you embed in them, the more room you have to put your own stuff in the middle of them, which is kind of cool too. But I don't know, I think it's about education. I think QR in education particularly is new, and so it's important to sort of talk about how other people are using them and not benchmark against higher ed. I'd benchmark against Best Buys and the other people who are doing them up, and you see the Times Square, giant QR codes, that kind of stuff. So it's mostly just about education and potential, and I think it's an interesting field, and someone will present on it next year, I'm sure. So.
All right, we have to wrap it up there. Tim, thank you.
Thank
Great
you.
Presentation. Thanks, everyone.